This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon. Well, we got here just in time. The storm has blown over. Everything is good and calm, and everybody's feeling a lot better. I have Mayor Sam Toone on from Eagleville today. And Sam, it looked a little bit rough out toward your way for a few minutes.
It was nasty for a few minutes.
Yeah. So. We were kind of worried because the weather looked like it was just centering in on that area, and then all of a sudden, it's gone.
I talked to a few people out in the Eagleville area a few moments ago, and reports of some hail and some wind, but hadn't heard about any damage yet, so that's a blessing.
Yeah, I still haven't collected on my hail damage from last year. In fact, I haven't filed. Isn't that ridiculous? Mm-hmm. Want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care, 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, and that's behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And Melissa Warren started that business to make sure that people in their homes could still stay there, enjoy the quality of life that they've been used to. And what they do is they go in and make sure that they do the normal duties for the individuals who live there. And it's 24/7, and they even run errands for you. And it's one of those things that they're really concerned about the individual's safety and their way of life. And if you would like to get in contact with them, call them at 713-4639 or pull them up on the website, www.athomecaretennessee.com. Well, Sam, it's been a while since we had you on. Actually, we had Mayor Tommy Bragg from Murfreesboro on yesterday and talking about the conditions of Murfreesboro and how great everything is. And one of the things that we talked about off of the air was that you played for UT when you went to Knoxville. And tell me about that experience, because he was wanting me to ask you about it. I don't know why he became particularly interested in it, but he was.
Well, Tommy just always wants to start trouble. That's the first thing. And I guess I'm a byproduct of two universities. Out of high school, I was fortunate enough to be offered a full scholarship, play for University of Tennessee. And at that time, Doug Dickey was the head coach, and Tennessee was number two in the nation. I forgot who was number one at that time, but anyway, they had a real program up there. Went to the Orange Bowl that year, and I signed on with them. And I don't know, for ever what reasons, I decided to transfer back down to Middle Tennessee State University and played some ball out here, and this is where I graduated.
You know, it wasn't uncommon back then for, say, the big schools like Tennessee and Alabama and all those, for them to leave those big schools and go to MTSU back then. It seemed to be almost a habit-forming thing. And the players that came here were awesome players.
Well, and I tell you, a perfect example of that is Clark Maples. Mm-hmm. You know, Clark passed away a couple of years ago, yes. But Clark went to the University of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. He came back down here and was a real player at Middle Tennessee. And, that's happened not just at Middle Tennessee, but a lot of universities.
Coach Murphy was your coach, right?
Coach Murphy had just resigned. When I came down, he had just resigned. And Don Foose from Purdue took over as head coach.
Coach Murphy was a legend here. I had the pleasure of knowing him and seeing some of his teams back then. And I always felt that the teams, especially in the late 50s and the early 60s, you could almost put them against pro teams. They were really that talented and that good at that time.
Yeah, and Coach Murphy, which I knew fairly well, I guess, for a person, the age difference between myself and Coach Murphy, but he, not just locally, not at that time the OVC, not Middle Tennessee, but really through the NCAA, the entire United States, Coach Murphy was very well respected.
Yes, and one of the nicest people that I've ever met.
He helped a lot of people.
Now, let's go back to Eagleville now. You guys are working on some major projects, and knowing you, you have a lot of friendships and a lot of ties to here in Rutherford County and the state, and you have to have that sometime to get the tough businesses passed through. And you've been working on a project for a long time. Actually, it goes even back before you when they've been trying to do something about the sewer system that you don't have in Eagleville, and it's something that's become a major concern for everybody, and not just the health thing, because that's always a major concern, but there's no doubt in anybody's mind that Eagleville is on the verge or on the threshold of growing into a major player as a city in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, and we go back to your original statement there, talking about high school, college, football, athletics, whether it's with the sheriff's department. Mm-hmm. It makes no difference what area that you're working in and working toward. You've got to have teamwork. Right. Locally, at the state level, the federal level, you don't accomplish anything by yourself. The city of Murfreesboro does not make accomplishment just by itself, just like the Rover program. Mm-hmm. Here with the buses.
Right.
You know, all that's federally funded so that the taxpayers here don't have to shell out all that money out of their pocket. So it is important to have friends. Mm-hmm. People that share the same interests, the same concern, and same goals. It's no person, no organization, no city, no county can progress without those relations.
And it looks like that because of that particular problem, it's almost going to be impossible to get industry into that area that would help not only Eagleville but the whole community come in. And I know that you've got some help in the state legislature, and I'm sure on the grant side that you're looking into a number of possibilities. How really in depth have you gotten as far as studying the type of septic systems that would be useful out there but still remain inside the type of budget that you're going to have to work with?
Well, let's back up again. It looks like I'm always going backwards, but
no, you're always going forward.
But to substantiate your statement there, back in as just odd as it could be, and very few people know this, talking about support at the state level. When I was at the University of Tennessee, our equipment manager was State Representative Pat Marsh.
Ah.
So Pat Marsh has been our representative in Eagleville. Mm-hmm. For the last couple of years. And
I didn't realize Pat was that old.
he was a lot older than I, see. So, but anyway, so Pat was the equipment manager at the University of Tennessee when I was up there. Mm. When I transferred to Middle Tennessee State University, guess who the equipment manager was? State Senator Bill Ketron.
Ah.
So we go back to those relationships. Mm-hmm. and sharing some of the same thoughts and quality of life. But yeah, we've in both of those guys, along with Joe Carr and Rick Womack, Jim Tracy, all of those guys at the state level have been very supportive in trying to help us every way they can. You know, in money, I guess money is a real evil, whether you've got too much money or not enough money. Either one of them can be an evil for you.
I'll take the too much.
Well, I'll cipher through that somehow and struggle to make it, but I'm with you. And that's what we're talking about here. If money was just available, we could put a sewer system in and solve all the problems here immediately. Mm-hmm. We have qualified, and I want to be real, make sure everybody understands what I'm talking about. Qualified. We have qualified for a rural development grant. Mm-hmm. Through USDA, and I guess we should stop there for just a moment. A lot of people really don't understand the difference between a grant and a loan. Mm-hmm. A loan you pay back. A grant you do not pay back. Now, there's different types of grants, whether it be a matching grant or a full grant. It could be a matching grant, 80-20, where you pay 80, then where you're getting your money, they're going to pay the other. It could be 50-50 or ever what. Mm-hmm. But we have qualified for a $1.8 million grant from USDA Rural Development. We're looking at a $4 million project to solve our health issues. Now, because we have qualified for $1.8 million, does not mean we're going to get that much. If the federal government funded every project, every program in the entire United States, yeah, we would get the full 1.8. Mm-hmm. But we won't get that. I mean, that's just realistic. I don't know where we'll wind up. Anything would be appreciable, but I hope we get to 1.8, but I do not look for that.
Now, maybe somebody looking from the outside in, your specific needs should be at the top, because we're talking about a major health issue and also something that's going to help the economy in the long run, because you're going to bring in major businesses and industries, because I know they're out there looking at Eagleville, because a lot of it's your location, and then the people in that area. I don't understand why Eagleville would only qualify, and we're talking about you may not even get that much for 1.8, because you're looking at a $4 million system that's going to be really, really tough for Eagle, the size of it at this point, to be able to build something that's going to be that costly. So what kind of magic are you going to have to pull out to keep that going?
Well, we've qualified for that. You know, if we got $1.5 million, $1.2 million, we'd be tickled to death. I'd love 1.8, but I don't think that's realistic. At the present time, we're also working on as we speak, we're doing household surveys. There's so many qualifications and so many requirements that you have to meet for these grants. But right now, as we speak, we've got people doing household surveys, just going house to house and asking the questions at on the qualification sheet. Mm-hmm. That grant would be good for $1 million. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully at that point would be somewhere around $2.5 million. Mm-hmm. Then there's a couple of other places that we might can find some money. So, you know, with a $4 million project, I don't know where we are as how much money we could comfortably borrow. We don't want to borrow any more money we have to put any tax burden on our citizens, any sewer burden on our citizens. Because anything that you do costs money. Go to the grocery store, you know, it's going to cost you money. Put gas in your car, it's going to cost you money. Go to the ball game, it's going to cost you money. If you got water, I don't care if you got well water or Murfreesboro water and sewer, CUD, it's going to cost you money. And that's where it's real, real challenging is providing this service that is so desperately needed. But at the same time, we've got to be very sensitive on monthly bills for everyone. And like you say, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? It's so tough trying to recruit industry, small business, to come out. And when you don't have a good wastewater system, we've got many septic tanks in Eagleville that's failing,
right?
And it's tough. It's just real, real tough it's almost impossible to recruit business to come there. And you know, we have to be truthful through the whole process. And you know, there's some people that don't want sewer because they don't want to see any growth. They want to leave everything like it's been for the past 100 years. Well, that's really not practical.
Not now.
Not now, it's not. But at the same time, too, myself as mayor, the city council, our city manager, William Hastings, our city recorder, Amy Van Allman, all of us, it's our responsibility to protect our rural heritage. We love our one traffic light. I just, giving directions, go to the traffic light. It's not number 5 on Broad Street, or it's go to the traffic light, and it's easy to give directions. And, you know, it's, I had a lady call me from out of state this morning about some other business, and I was explaining to her that, you know, the FFA chapter at Eagleville is one of the largest FFA, Future Farmers of America, mm-hmm. chapter in the state of Tennessee. They win award after award. You go to one of the city schools or one of the bigger schools, Riverdale, Oakland, Blackman, and you'll see some real nice cars. You go to Eagleville, you'll see some nice cars, but you'll see a lot of pickup trucks too, you know. Mm-hmm. The hardest job that we have is to make this affordable and protect the character and integrity of Eagleville. We do need some growth. We've had people say, we don't want to be like Smyrna and Laverne and Nashville. Well, you know, that's never going to happen. Practically, that's never, ever going to happen. But we do have to make some improvements. We do have to get a few more businesses and more sales tax. You know, we really need that.
You know, I really envision Eagleville growing at a pretty fast pace once you start bringing industry in. I really do, because it's such a great draw. You still have that great community atmosphere out there, and I think that Eagleville is the place that you can still maintain that special heritage that they've got out there. I mean, I absolutely love Eagleville, I always have, but I have seen that problem as it has gotten worse. And if you're going to have any businesses in there at all, then that problem has to be addressed. And then you were talking about bringing in small businesses and things like that. But how are you going to address it if you do get a sewer system in that's set for the size of Eagleville and maybe looking at its futuristic growth up to a point? Would you maybe leave some room in there for growth or for your sewer system if you get some major players coming in, the major plants and whatever, that's going to really change it?
Yeah, the system that the city council approved to pursue, 18 months ago, 24 months ago, however long it's been, the city council approved to move forward with an MBR system, mm-hmm. Which is easily expandable, which discharges a very clean effluent that we could actually discharge back into the rivers. Mm-hmm. It's very clean and it's very easy to expand upon. So once we get the initial system put in, it would be very easy to double, triple the size of the capacity of the system.
I would say you're talking about somebody that maybe didn't want it to grow, and they're not exactly big supporters of the sewer system. And my guess is probably some of that is what you alluded to earlier, that they're worried about their tax rates going up, because you really don't have a lot to pull from, even from the taxpayers in Eagleville, because it's not really the size that you would expect. But you guys are kind of in a catch-22. You're going to have to do it. I mean, at one point, you're going to have to do it. And I know that once it gets started, and I know how you're going to be able to manage it, I think it's going to be a major plus for the town of Eagle in the long run.
Without a doubt. There's a lot of people in Rutherford County, Murfreesboro, that's never been to Eagleville. There's a lot of people in Middle Tennessee that's never heard of Eagleville. But if you'll look on a map of Middle Tennessee, Eagleville, Tennessee sits in the best location probably of anywhere. We sit dead center between I-65, I-24, 7 miles south of 840. Mm-hmm. You can leave Nashville on what is known as Nolansville Road, mm-hmm. out in the Tusculum area, South Nashville area, down there at the zoo. Can't think of the name of the zoo in Nashville now, but anyway, the zoo down there in that area. And Thompson Lane, and just come mm-hmm. straight out and owns the road and never turn, just come straight to Eagleville. Dead center, we're dead center, halfway between Cool Springs and Franklin, the mm-hmm. avenue in Murfreesboro, 20 minutes from either one. We're right between Shelbyville and Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as a light industry, somebody that we could support them and they could help support us, as far as transporting goods and receiving raw goods, mm-hmm. Easiest location in the world. I told somebody the other day, and they had to stop and think what I was telling them. I said, when you can leave Eagleville, Tennessee, go up here in the 840 and go over to 65 or 24, either one. You can leave downtown Eagleville, Tennessee, literally go to Miami, Florida, Chicago, New York, and never hit a traffic light. Never hit a traffic light until you get off the system everywhere you're going. So it's very handy. I mean, we're 20 minutes to Murfreesboro, 20 minutes to Franklin, and it's real handy, and that would be a tremendous plus in recruiting some light industry. And I want to emphasize light industry. I don't think it would take mega bucks of infrastructure before we could ever support a Nissan or Saturn, something like that.
Or is that something you could partner up with a major
there's,
one?
There's no reason that we couldn't have some small satellite plants could be a chroming plant or stamping plant or an upholstery plant. There's no reason in the world that we couldn't support one of the satellites. Maybe even something as large as the engine plant that Decker, Tennessee has for Nissan. It's very possible we could do something like that and create some jobs.
You know, that's one thing that even when I was a kid, we always wondered where in the world we would have to go to for our work, our mm-hmm. jobs. And of course, I think that's one of the reasons that MTSU is really a major draw, other than it's a great university, is that they know that they're not too far away from being able to fulfill their dreams mm-hmm. in whichever vocation they want to go into. And that would be, to me, it'd be a major plus for the citizens in Eagleville to have something available in their community for the people that live there.
I've had that discussion several times with people that wouldn't it be nice that you had a child that graduated from Eagleville School, and rather than having to go to Memphis or Cincinnati, Atlanta, go everywhere to find a job, mm-hmm. if we could offer some jobs right here and they could stay right here and close to their family. And, you need to think about that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, you have small businesses in
sure.
Eagleville now.
Sure.
But, you know, it would really complement all those businesses that are there to have other businesses move in. And I know he's just outside your city limits, but Dennis Milnar, who was on my show just recently, he was really a very impressive man. And to have something of that quality that you know, there's nationwide interest in him is really a plus for Eagleville. And of course, when you had the building supply there years ago,
Crosslands,
that was a mm-hmm. major plus for Eagleville. And you know, there's no doubt in my mind that anybody moving a business into Eagleville, once you get this going, is going to be successful.
Well, I think Mr. Milner, I think is a couple of years ago that, and I don't want to speak for him, but I think a couple of years ago he was looking at relocating his business, maybe to Murfreesboro,
mm-hmm.
and when he found out the complexity of it, the expense of it, then mm-hmm. and then Eagleville looked real well to stay there. And you know, so many unique people and unique businesses there in Eagleville, and that's what makes Eagleville, is when you can, and I've used this analogy many times, you can set the traffic light and you see about as many farm tractors as you do automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that every day everywhere.
Well, you've got a great spirit. I mean, once a year you bring everybody in. You have people from all walks of life that come in and enjoy in the summertime the fellowship with people from all over. You have the antique cars. They have a contest going, and then all the music. It is a major draw, and people still love to come into a community like Eagleville. and I do. It just really has that old time feeling to it, a way the county used to be.
Well, you know, you say that, and of course, and I guess it. I don't know how many millions of people we're reaching out to today, but this is a.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Mm-hmm. Radio Free Europe, maybe. But
yes, as possibility.
But, you know, like Roy Acuff used to say on the opera, you know, boys, this is unrehearsed. So mm-hmm. Let's get it right the first time. So everything we're doing is unrehearsed. I have no idea where we're going next. But it's a very unique everything that makes up Eagleville, mm-hmm. everything that makes up Eagleville. It's the location, the people, the character. There's really nowhere else even that I know around close to what we have to offer in Eagleville. When this past fall, Eagleville football.
Great team.
Had a great team. Coach Carson did the staff, the players, the faculty, the parents. They all be commended on the efforts that they made in a very successful season, best season in history. Wound up 11-1, but anyway, they were getting ready for the homecoming parade, and the streets of Eagleville were shut down. 41A is a federal highway that Main Street runs right through the middle of town. But the streets of Eagleville were shut down for the homecoming parade. And just so happened this particular day, Mr. Paul Latour, president of the Chamber of Commerce, and Jason Haynes that works at the Chamber of Commerce, they were coming out of Nashville and decided to come back through Eagleville and visit with me for a few minutes. Well, they got there just in time for the roads to be shut down and the homecoming parade. And it was just, both of them got a huge kick out of how Americana and how small town feel that we had the authority and had the ability, had the character to shut down our streets. Mm-hmm. And the school lets out, everybody in town comes out for the high school homecoming parade there in Eagleville. And it's a things like this, pretty. I don't know any other school in the county that can say they shut down a certain area of public roads and have a homecoming parade. So it's things like that make us a little different. And
it does. And the support is outstanding for the ball game.
Oh, yes, unreal.
You would think that you were at a 3,000 or 4,000 school, populated school. Mm-hmm. When you go to an Eagleville football game, because everybody turns out because that's their team, and mm-hmm. it does make a big difference. Because you a whole community, you got to go out and say, "Hey, this is Eagleville. This is us out there playing."
It is, and you know, and again, and I know that every community, every school has got so much pride in people that are there and contribute in one way or the other, but. You know, another thing that you just never know what's going to happen next and who's going to show up. Mr. Trace Atkins, a very well known.
He still lives there, doesn't he?
Well, he's got a farm there. He stays there some. His actual permanent address is in Brentwood, mm-hmm. but he has a real nice farm in Eagleville and stays there. But one of the ball games during the playoffs, he went out on the field and sang the national anthem.
Great guy.
Now, you know, 2 weeks before that, he was singing the national anthem at the World Series. And then we've had him in Eagleville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I'm sure other schools throughout the county had great entertainment and noted people to sing the national anthem or ever what in their festivities. You know, he actually owns a farm there, and we call him a resident. So that's pretty special when somebody is as powerful and as notive, world notive as he is, stops his life to come and sing national anthem at Eagleville High School football game.
You know, he's such a good guy. You know he has to be a little bit from Eagleville because when we had Patriotic Day over at the jail a few years ago, he was our entertainer. And did a tremendous job. And then after the show was over, he went inside the jail and signed autographs for everybody that would come up, and he stayed there for hours after it was over with. And that shows you what type of guy he is.
He's got a lot of character.
Yes, he does.
We're talking about Eagleville.
Yes, we are talking about Eagleville. And we want to let you know, we'll talk about someplace close to Eagleville right now. Pearl and Howerton Automotive. That's Mark Pearl and John Howerton. And, of course, Mark is a Murfreesboro boy. And that's at 2006 North Main Street in Shebbleville, Tennessee. Pearl and Howerton Automotive. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, take about a 20-minute drive from Murfreesboro, and it's not really that much farther from, it's about the same from Eagleville, isn't it?
About 20 minutes.
About 20 minutes. And I guarantee you, when you get there, you're going to find exactly what you want. And they are some of the nicest people that you'll ever meet. And you can call them from any place that you're listening right now at 1-800-264-6800, toll free, or pull them up on the internet, pearlhowerton.com. And today is a perfect day to go. I mean, it's not sunshining or anything like that. You can go out there, and now that the storm's over with, you can spend as much time as you want, enjoy your day, and get out there quick because it's going to turn cold tonight.
The new Powerball is being described as bigger, better, more. But more what? So we asked the lottery number crunchers to tell us about more.
Well, more players will now win $1 million.
You know that for sure.
We've had 238 match 5 winners in Tennessee. With a new Powerball, they'd all have won at least $1 million.
That sounds like more to me. Play the new Powerball today. Bigger jackpots, better odds, more millionaires. Just $2. Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. The new Powerball is being described as bigger, better, more. But we wanted to be crystal clear on what bigger meant. So we asked a lottery spokesperson to clarify bigger for us.
The jackpots now start at 40 million and grow quicker than ever.
And that's bigger than before?
Yes, it's actually twice as big.
Which makes it twice as fun. Play the new Powerball today. Bigger jackpots, better odds, more millionaires. Just $2. Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, AmeriCare Pest Control, and the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS.
Hello, I'm Dave Gober with First Community Mortgage.
And Dean Higby with South Branch Nursery.
Be sure to tune in every Saturday from 11:30 to 12:30 for the Rutherford Home Show, presented by Old South Properties.
We are joined each week by local professionals to give helpful information about your home and the local community.
We also give you local real estate stats and rate information.
Join us here on WGNS for the Rutherford Home Show every Saturday, 11:30 to 12:30.
Looking now at Good Neighbor Events from WGNS, the Greenhouse Ministries is offering free tax preparation for anyone whose total household income is $50,000 or less per year. They have volunteers there to help you fill out those tax forms. That'll be now through tax day at the Greenhouse Ministries over on Spring Street. And the Hot Metal Show continues in the gallery at the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro now through February the 2nd. It's a combination of weathered assemblages and sculpture. The gallery at the Center for the Arts is open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 in the morning until 5 in the evening. Be sure to check with our local Red Cross about classes on CPR for both adults and infants. They're also offering babysitters training. The Red Cross here in town is at 501 Memorial Boulevard, the former Chamber of Commerce location. Check with them about these classes. And Pat Whitaker is again offering the Tai Chi classes over at the Lane Agri Park. They're on Wednesday mornings from 9 until 10, and the next 8-week session begins February the 1st. For information or to sign up, get with Pat Whitaker at the Lane Agri Park, 898-7710. And those are Good Neighbor Events.
Weather Eye.
Part of this afternoon with showers and isolated thunderstorms. Will cool into the low 50s. Tonight, partly cloudy. Slight chance of rain. Low near 28. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now it's 61.
Before the cold winter wind blows, be sure to take care of your car. Bring it by and let us check the battery and coolant. We'll do a complete car check, look at tires, wipers, and more to make sure it's safe for the road. That's Todd's Complete Auto Care. We're on Southeast Broad Street, 962-9050.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS, AM and FM.
With today's guest, Sam Toon.
And welcome back with Mayor Sam Toon and myself. We'd like you to know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Golden Coin Connection at 2568 South Church Street. That's beside the Gateway Tire Center in the Strip Mall. And Pastor Larry Dunn of ERO Ministries, Chris Chico, and Wayne Eberly are the partners. And they buy scrap gold, jewelry, platinum, coins, and silverware. And they have a vintage sports collectibles and even some great antiques. They may even have something from when you played at UT and MTSU, Sam.
They probably don't have anything that old.
Well, you know, that would we're talking about antiques now.
I know, but I mean, it probably it's way before their time.
And for a fair and honest evaluation of your collectibles, take them by and see Pastor Larry Dunn and his partners today. And that's the Golden Coin Connection at 2568 South Church Street, or give them a call at 890-2646. You know, going back to when you played ball, who were some of the players? Was Glenn Glass already gone at that time? You remember him? He was a tailback. You guys were playing the single wing at that time.
Yeah,
they were.
Yeah, I believe he'd already gone. When I got to Knoxville, you had Dewey Warren, Swamp Fox.
Yeah, Swamp, yeah.
You had Charlie Fulton.
Was it Swamp Fox or Swamp Rat?
Swamp Rat.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you had the two All-American linebackers, Steve Kiner and Jack Reynolds, Hacksaw Reynolds.
Yeah. And Big Mouth Kiner.
Oh, but the thing about it, though, he could back it up.
Except one game. One game.
Yeah.
Archie Manning.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he put it in front of him then. But there were so many All-Americans and so many. Carl Krimzer, kicker, mm-hmm. You know, you had so many, I mean, All-American Tennessee at that point. So I went up there. I mean, it was very attractive. They rolled out an All-American year after year after mm-hmm. year, sometimes three and four at a time, you know.
And I don't think they're that far away again. I think they're right on the verge.
Well, they've got a good coach coming out of Alabama, recruited mm-hmm. him.
But you know, MTSU's starting to be a major player.
Oh, yes, sir.
They
yes,
really
sir.
Are.
Yes, sir.
In all sports. But mm-hmm. I think in football, that of course, in basketball, that they're already there. And mm-hmm. we're talking mm-hmm. about the men's and the ladies' mm-hmm. team.
And you got to talk back to UT, and I hadn't thought about it. And, again, this is unrehearsed, but Phil Fulmer, that was co-chair for so long,
mm-hmm.
he played one offensive guard, and I played the other offensive guard.
Oh, really? You
yeah,
played with
yeah,
Phil?
Yeah, so me and Phil's on the same team. So if you had myself and Phil and Pat Marsh and – of course, a bunch more, but Phil and I was on the same time.
How was Phil Fulmer to play with? He seemed like a real laid-back type.
Very laid-back, very quiet. He studied while the rest of us were
studying.
Extracurricular activity, I guess. Phil real quiet, real dedicated, and that's mm-hmm. why he was so successful in all his years. Just very dedicated, very upstanding person.
Dickie was one of those guys with really a quality coach. I mean, when he came mm-hmm. in, he had success written all over him when he came in. And actually, a great recruiter. Do you remember who was recruiting you at the time?
Doug Knox. I guess he was the offensive line coach. Doug Knox and Doug Dickie both, they were the ones that recruited me. But, yeah, Doug Dickie was like that. He when he walked in the room, he demanded respect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know one time it was a team meeting and and he said, and see a few things in life you don't forget. Mm-hmm. And he said in this team meeting, and I don't remember the circumstances and why he was making this point, but I'm sure there was something for 100 guys sitting in the room that was 18, 20 years old. For some reason, he had to say this. But he said, "If you fool with me," he said, "there's two ends of the stick."
Mm-hmm.
The short end and the long end.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fool with me, you're going to get the short end every time. And I remember that from Coach Dickey from back years ago. So
he was a pretty good disciplinarian.
Oh, but you better believe it. You better believe it, buddy. He was not pretty good. He demanded it. And
was he a good ex as an old man? Was he the type that when you were on the practice field, was he in charge the whole time he was there?
He was in charge at the same time, too. Now, he had a tremendous coaching staff, we'll go back to our very original opening up statements. You don't do anything by yourself.
Right.
You don't have a sheriff's department. You don't have a school department.
Right.
You don't have a police department. I don't care. You don't do anything by yourself. Doug Dickey was demanding enough and respected enough. He probably at that time had, if not the best, one of the best coaching staffs in the United States of America. I mean, he ran the show, but he had some of the best coaches. He didn't have to run the show. I mean, mm-hmm. he had the right people at the right place. And but yeah, he was in charge. He was in charge, man.
I always wondered what was in his mind when he left UT. Because he was on top of the world.
Oh, he really was.
He had one mm-hmm. of the best programs ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to one of our major competitors.
Mm-hmm.
And it left a really bad taste in everybody's mouth. You know how rabid football fans are.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is they forgot it after a while, their anger with him. And then he came back home and then he became successful again.
Of course, you know, he played ball at Florida,
and
so
he
went back to his alma mater, and so I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not, but...
Well, you know, Spurrier would have played at UT if they had the, if they didn't have the single wing.
Mm-hmm, yeah, remember that. Yeah, he was All-State up at Johnson City.
Yeah. Actually, he wanted to go to UT.
Yeah.
It's funny how things evolve when it comes to something like sports, because you know, what we're seeing at UT right now is the product of I really think it was one particular person that's caused all the disarray in Knoxville right now at UT. I mean, when that particular person packed up and left, leaving them high and dry, it's going to take a while for them to ever get that back. But I think it's coming.
It takes, I don't care what you got, what program you're in. When you have damage, it takes you can have 1 year of damage. It might take 10 years to recover.
Mm-hmm.
It just because while you're recovering, everybody else is still moving forward. And so, yeah, you're right on that. It, but they've done a great job regrouping.
Mm-hmm.
They've done a great job with that.
Now, one of the things that they're looking at right now, Dooley, is of course, is replacing his assistant coaches. And how vital is that to UT to make sure that they get the right people in place so that they can continue to gain in status as far as football is?
It's tremendously important because, you know, the lifeline, the blood of every college team is recruiting.
Right.
You recruit a young man out of high school. He's got 4 or 5 years, depending on how he's redshirted or what. But we've just had that situation here in Rutherford County where there was one of the young athletes was thinking about going to Vanderbilt, and I think wound up making a commitment to Ole Miss
mm-hmm.
because of the coaching. So the depending on who's going to coach you, depending on playing time, depending on what that coach tells you who you're going to be playing for, because you know you do have that head coach, but many times you know, college is so much different from high school that if you're playing offense, you might hardly ever see anybody that plays on the other side of the ball. And the same thing with the coaches, you might be with your offensive line coach or your quarterback coach and not see the other coaches. So it is extremely important that any institution have the right people in the right position to be in contact with the young man. Dark shadows, a typical situation of Penn State,
yeah.
What's taking place up
there.
That's
a sad thing.
It's very sad, but again, having the right people to have those right recruits coming out of high school, because if you don't have the recruits, you're not going to – they're going to go to another college, and they'll be beating you in the next 4 years too.
You know, it's a different world than you and I grew up with, but it bothers me when you see something like a contractual agreement with colleges with a young man and maybe even his family – become public. I really hate to see that, because mm-hmm. that's something that that really does not bode well for anybody at that time. And sometimes it just seems like it, they want to run with it, which to me is probably not even a story anyway. But you see the hard feelings come out in print.
Well, a lot of times people are destroyed publicly before, the truth has come out. And then later on we find that the story really wasn't the full truth anyway. But the damage has already been done.
Now, when you play for MTSU, who were some of the people that you remember the most?
Oh, you know, one of our, fames was Radio Ray Odom. You know, he mm-hmm. went on All-Pro. Mm-hmm. He was there. Ray Bonner, you know, he was there. Had a lot of real good talent over there. For some reason, during that time, it was real hard. Coach Murphy leaving, new coaches coming in, new
That's
recruits coming in. It was 2 or 3 years there that it was a tremendous void, maybe of unity, of mm-hmm. getting the coaches and the players, the recruits, and with Coach Foose came in from Purdue, he brought a bunch of his assistant coaches from up there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there you take. We truth of the matter is, we are in the South. Mm-hmm. We're right here in Middle Tennessee. What we've been talking about, especially back in the '60s, and all of a sudden, that rather than a hometown coach that maybe graduated somewhere locally and went to a local high school and went to MTSU, then he's back recruiting. You've got some people from Indiana, Illinois, New York that's out recruiting you to come to MTSU. So there was a void there for several years to get get that unity back. It really was.
So you have to have good communications, and you have to have some kind of relationship with the coach to be able to follow his instructions. And if he's making major changes in the way you were doing things, then the adjustment is not always easy, is it?
Well, you know, you can see this in many businesses. You can see it in many athletic programs. We're talking about football directly, that when a lot of times a new coach comes in, a new head coach, first thing you'll see is assistant coach leaving, mm-hmm. and you'll see many times some of the athletes and sometimes star athletes leaving because that they feel like that they can't work in that program.
That's something that bothers me, because it seems like the media focuses on what we call the star athletes, and you can't win unless you have a team. And a lot of times, when players call attention to themselves and they want a lot of airtime, I don't think that's conducive for a winning attitude for a team. It's got to bother the other guys.
Well, you know, you cannot have a good sheriff's department if you ain't got a lot of good deputies.
That's right.
And you sure cannot have a winning team if you've got a star quarterback and do not have an offensive line and some other people to support him. And then, of course, it goes a step farther than that. When he's off the field, you've got to have the defensive team to protect what he's done offensively. So, yeah, it is somewhat alarming. Yeah.
Now, talking about a winning team, here we are in Rutherford County. You guys are at bat, are ready to kick off, and you got and you mentioned a group that is always a major player in something like that, because it benefits them directly too, is the Chamber of Commerce.
Oh yes, sir.
Now, I'm sure that they're very supportive of what your plans are as far as the future, as far the growth of Eagleville and the project that you're working on now.
Well, almost every meeting that we've ever had with local, state, or federal level, mm-hmm. Mr. Paul Gouture, President of Chamber of Commerce, has been there. Mm-hmm. He wrote a letter last week to USDA mm-hmm. in support of Eagleville. Chamber of Commerce has been tremendous. Everyone up there, in the chamber has been supportive of Eagleville and what we're trying to do. As soon as we can get a step farther, I'm sure that Holly will recruit some ministry and some jobs for us. But we can, let me say this, we would welcome anyone to get a little plug in here. Welcome anyone to bring something to us. Stop by City Hall. Contact us at eaglevilletennessee.com. Be glad to come by City Hall. We do have a new City Hall.
I haven't seen it, but they say it's really nice.
We got a new City Hall, moved in October. We'd love to entertain anybody that got any jobs, any industry. Welcome to move to Eagleville. Be glad to talk with anybody.
Yeah, and that's one thing I was thinking about when I was thinking about the Chamber of Commerce, because I know that they have contacts with industry and businesses across the country, because if you're a small business or even a large business and you're thinking about relocating, one of the first places that you're going to call will be the chamber located within your community. And, you know, with the data that they can put out as far as all the pluses for Eagleville, I mean, it would have to be all positive. And to me, that would be a major draw, not only for Eagleville, but for our whole community, because we are a team and we do work together and we support each other. And that's the main thing that we're thinking about, is how our community is going to be successful.
Well, you know, we go back to, again, to where we started out with the program is teamwork. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't understand. And if you don't understand, you can't have the true appreciation mm-hmm. of the strength of our Chamber of Commerce here in Rutherford County as one of the key players. Mm-hmm. When you look at businesses, when you look at industry, when you look at success, it's not accident. Mm-hmm. Somebody put this program together. Somebody had to recruit Amazon. Amazon mm-hmm. just didn't ride down interstate and say, hey, let's just buy some property. Mm-hmm. And build a distribution center here. Somebody is out recruiting, and that's the Chamber of Commerce that are bringing jobs back here to Rutherford County. They are, those people over there do a wonderful job.
And we want to talk about a business that is close to us, and we're talking about Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shevville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves on the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And only at Stan McNabb can you get free oil changes and free tires for the life of that vehicle.
HGTV, the leader in home design and know-how, has joined Shaw Floors, the leader in flooring and city tile and floor covering, the largest flooring retailer in our area, to bring you HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw Collection. Doug Young with City Tile.
Come to City Tile and see the new selections of the HGTV products exclusively at City Tile.
Your HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw authorized retailer. Visit citytile.net. City Tile and Floor Covering.
Hello, this is Truman Jones. We have a new sponsor and one that you're going to be delighted with. It's National Healthcare, National Healthcare Corporation right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And this is where life is celebrated. Discover a different kind of care, one that ensures that you're surrounded by people who make a difference in your life. In 11 states, patients and residents feel right at home at National Healthcare Corporation's more than 130 affiliated healthcare centers and home care offices. Their family of facilities delivers exceptional rehabilitative, skilled nursing, and extended care in locations that are close to home and family. In line with their longtime commitment to provide a continuum of care to those who need their services at any age. And want to let you know that this is a local business started here, even though it's pretty much all through the Southeast. National Health Care, Murfreesboro, where life is celebrated.
Be a hero for kids with cancer. Join Bald in the Borough's second annual St. Baldrick's event on March 16th at 4 p.m. located in Lanes, Trains, and Automobiles in Murfreesboro. You can be a part of the excitement, whether you shave your head, volunteer, or donate. You'll be giving hope to those kids fighting childhood cancers. Go to baldintheborough.com and see how you can be a hero too. Sponsored by Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Mayor Sam Toone. You know, I really envy you, Sam. I really do, because you have a great project. You have a dream. You have a future that you're working on. And I know that you've got your eyes set on winning in this particular problem that you've got. And you've got a lot of people that are behind you, a lot of people that are going to help. And your city influences not only Rutherford, as we were talking about while we're off the air, but it also influences Bedford County and Williamson County. So that's a big, strong point
and,
right
and
there.
In Marshall County.
Yeah, that's right, Marshall County.
Mm-hmm.
Marshall County is somewhere where you run out of Marshall County, out of Rutherford into Marshall and back into Rutherford. Back, I can't remember what that road is, but it goes back toward.
There's a couple off roads back in there that it's like that. It runs back and forth,
mm-hmm.
But just on the main highway, when you leave Rutherford County, you go into Williamson County, then into Marshall County. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you don't stay on 41A, it takes you straight into Bedford County that way. But there's a couple areas in there that you can get two or three county lines at one time.
Now, when you come off of 840, say if you're leaving Franklin and you come off 840, you may have mentioned this before, but I don't think I got it. How far is it from 840 to downtown Eagleville?
Well, about 7 miles. I don't know exactly, but about 7 miles.
I wondered that because it is such beautiful country, yeah. Back up in there. Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm very proud of, and since I've been mayor, I was just part of it, but we got some signs put up on 840 and I-24 that showing that it was an Eagleville exit. But quite often we give people are asking directions off of 840, and for people that don't know, it's exit number 42. It is marked Eagleville, but
it's
exit number 42, Highway 41A.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just remember 42 and 41, it'll take you downtown Eagleville.
You know, one of the things that I remember fondly about Eagleville, probably 35 to 40 years ago, is I used to come down and help them work the basketball games, because they were... Yeah, you could get really head up if you were supporting your particular team back then. Mm-hmm. Of course, Eagleville had great support. But I never will forget, after the game, everybody would converge on the Melody Bar,
mm-hmm.
which is the downtown restaurant at the time, and they would stay open as long as the people wanted to eat hamburgers and milkshakes and all that other stuff. And it seems like it still has that same type of support still there in Eagleville.
Without a doubt, that support's still there. Of course, you know, Eagleville has been a basketball school forever, and forgive my accuracy, but I think this is only the ninth season that we've had football.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, it's been basketball forever, so it's always been a basketball school and very successful. And of course, in the last few years, they've had a very tremendous baseball program, went to the playoffs last spring in baseball, but yeah, that atmosphere is still there. There's one family there, the Tucker family. Mr. Pete Tucker told me some time back that I think for 50 years they've had a Tucker in school at Eagleville.
Wow.
For 50 years they've had a Tucker in school. Now that's pretty strong.
From the same group,
same direct family.
That is amazing.
That is absolutely amazing. So, you know, you're talking about strong roots. You know, a lot of character. If people would have moved off if they didn't like it.
and they don't mind working and being good neighbors to everybody. And the community club, it's there on 99. I can't think of what they call it.
Well, it's just community club. Yeah.
They always had fundraisers for the community, and they would bring people from all over Middle Tennessee. And one of the biggest draws was they would cook chitlins there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always go. Unfortunately, I never did eat chitlins. I just could not. I couldn't get a taste for it for some reason. I mean, just walking in the door. So I would I would eat other things that they would. The friendliness of the people when you came in, and they couldn't do enough to wait on you. But a lot of the people that were doing that in past years, I think that they've probably gotten older and it's harder to do. Do you still have those type of functions?
Yeah, not quite as like with the chitlin supper. Mr. and Ms. Lamb did that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Gordon and Mary Alice Lamb. And as they got older, they just had to back out of it. And, mm-hmm. of course, Ms. Lamb, she passed away this past year.
Mm-hmm. That's a big void right there.
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, lovely, yes, sir. Lady.
There's, of course, we have the tractor show over in the fall. It's very big. And last year we had the golf cart rally. This first golf cart rally anywhere in the United States. People came from all over, everywhere, and brought their golf carts and did tours and shows and different things. So there's a, you know, some people have mistakenly take Southern hospitality for ignorance. You know, that you say hello, how you doing,
and mean it.
We had that conversation earlier today, and that's what you still have in Eagleville. People are, and this is not negative in any way, but it's kind of a step back in time when we talk about community spirit and friendliness. You pick any of your bigger high schools here in the county, they've got students from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the students that go to school at Eagleville were born and raised in Eagleville.
Right.
And that's so, it's, and most of the parents know all of the students at Eagleville and vice versa. So it's a huge community spirit in Eagleville.
There's no doubt in my mind that you're going to be successful with this, Sam. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that are wanting to jump on the bandwagon and help you through with this particular project, and especially the business owners and the Chamber of Commerce and even the government officials. I think this is one thing that people need to get behind and boost you up, and let's get going with it.
We need help, need support, and of course, you know, the adverse effect of that is it's going to cost us some money. That's just plain and simple.
But I think it's something you're going to be able.
We will do it. We will do it. We've just got to keep everything balanced, and that's our job as city officials to keep everything balanced out. And we will. I feel sure we will be successful.
Well, you need to be listening tomorrow. We're going to have John Blankenship on tomorrow, who is one of our favorite attorneys and entertainers.
Well, yeah. Now I'm gonna throw it back on John Blankenship like Mayor Bragg did on myself.
Uh-oh.
And I asked Mr. Blankenship about playing ball at MTSU.
Were you playing at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought John Blankenship was a lot older than you.
Well, I was just a child, but see, it's a four-year program. But Johnny and I did play on the same team. And Johnny is older than Sam.
Was he a good ball player?
Sure.
Excellent ball player.
He was a real good ball player. Mm-hmm. Small in size, big in character, great hands, good receiver, small enough he could maneuver very well. He was an excellent ball player, yeah.
I hope he blings. I hope he brings some of his CDs with him tomorrow. That guy can sing. He can sing any, and he's a great songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we're going to play a couple of songs if it's all right with Brian tomorrow, because I love his country western music. It's just out of this world. So
many a dorm room that he and the Patterson boys, I went to school down to Isaac Litton, and Johnny most time played the banjo, and the Pattersons played the guitars, and many a time we sat in dorms room listening to them play.
Well, we're going to have him on tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
So you can be just as torturous to him as Mayor Bragg was to me. And I'll get you, Tommy.
And I always have fun with him.